Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And we also have a website, Prophetic News, a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and my book, Seed Faith. Can a man bribe God? How false teachers manipulate and hypnotize you for offerings. And it's that time of the year, and there's a song that they sing around Christmas time, but Rod Parsley and Paula White and the rest of the Passover scam artists, they like to sing it this time of the year. They sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And you know why? Because they can get you to give them Passover offerings. And they tell you that God expects Passover offerings. Otherwise, if you don't give God a Passover offering, you might get sick. You might not get an angel. You might not get favor. There's about seven different things that Paula tells you that will happen to you when you give Passover offerings. But the thing they forgot to tell you is that Jesus is our Passover, and Jesus is our Passover, and the work at Calvary was complete, right? So why do we have to give God, but it's not really God that's getting the Passover offering, it's Paula and Rod, because they tell you that you have to give it to God, but we know, right? We know that God doesn't need any money. God doesn't have any money. He called money filthy, filthy, filthy lucre. That's what he called it. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. And that's a word for Paul and Rod. Not with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So I don't have to make any sacrifices during Passover season, because Christ is my Passover. And I don't have to sow any resurrection seeds, because money doesn't have any life to it, and a seed has life. When you plant a seed, you will reap a harvest of fruit. You will reap a harvest of apples, many things you can reap a harvest of through a seed. But money, you put money in the ground, and if you go back, say you put a $5 bill in the ground, and you go back later and you look, you dig up that money, I guarantee you that money won't be there. It will be probably rotted away. So money is not seed. We know here at Prophetic News, I've been saying it for a long time. We know that we give to other people because we give out of love, because we want to bless other people. And the benefit for us is, doesn't it make you happy when you give somebody something and they're so overjoyed, especially if it's a surprise? Now, don't we all love surprises? I do. I love to be surprised. So that's the way to give. It's the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that. I went a few weeks ago and I wanted to buy a purse, but not really a purse. It's for a 10-year-old girl. And she, you know, kids, they carry backpacks now when they go to school. They're kind of big backpacks. But anyway, I saw this really cute denim backpack purse, a small one. And I can't wait to see the expression on the little girl's face when she gets this, right? She'll be so excited. She'll be saying, oh, I love it. And that's the thing that gives us joy. Not that these people, Rod Parsley and Paula White especially, but I know there's other people that have jumped on this bandwagon, Passover seed bandwagon, and they try to rob your joy from giving. I tried to get a few clips the other night when I was looking at Paula White's Wednesday night service, and she was talking about tithing, and she was telling the people, now I'm your pastor and you know I love you and I have to tell you the truth. And she said, well, you know, you're robbing God, and stealing is one thing, but robbing is another thing, because that's molesting the body or doing damage to the body. And she goes on and on and on, but Paula White is a biblical illiterate, basically. She's a professional scripture twister. And anyway, the audio really wasn't that good, so I wasn't able to play it for you tonight. But I'll see if I can capture it so that you can hear it. But I noticed that they have really bad audio equipment. You can hardly hear, especially when you listen on the internet. You can hardly hear the program. And it's a live broadcast, so they don't have very good equipment. And really, they need to fix it so that you can at least hear what the people are saying. If they're going to play things over the internet, at least you should be able to hear it. But anyway, Rod Parsley. Now, Rod Parsley, he's sending out a letter. Okay, here's the letter that I get in my email from Rod. And Rod, if you sign up for his emails, he bombards you. He says, God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me specifically to encourage you. Yeah, I know. God, the Holy Spirit spoke to him to encourage me. Yeah. He doesn't know me from Adam. To reach for his presence, seek his face, and believe him for miracles, especially in this season. Why? Because the events we celebrate over the next 7 days are irrefutably the most significant events in human history. Oh, please stop. Stop already. The most significant events in human history? What are you talking about? I would say the most significant event in human history was the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was the most significant event in human history. But the resurrection seed offering, I don't think so. Oh, this guy's really confused. And the very same spirit that engraved. Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know. For some reason, I'm getting disconnected. That happened last week, too. And I'll have to find out what's going on with this Blog Talk Radio thing. Because right in the middle of a sentence, it disconnects me. But anyway, we're back. So, everybody, we're back. All right. Now, Rod Parsley. You know, Rod is a strange character. He really is. Rod should go to Hollywood. I think he would be an Academy Award winning actor. He's a terrific actor. He comes to you with this really folksy manner, and he acts like he's your friend, and he's really going to tell you something about God. He's going to tell you how to get God's blessing. Now he says that there's still time for you to sign up to receive my revelation. Your revelation. Oh. Filled 7-day email teaching series. The season of resurrection miracles beginning tomorrow. But you must hurry. Miracles are happening all around the season. I want you to be a part of all God is doing. I want your heart to be refreshed and prepared to receive what he has for you. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to sign up here. The 7-day email series beginning tomorrow and arriving in your inbox daily until Easter, resurrection morning, will encourage you, enlighten you, and challenge you to seek God with all your heart. Yeah. He says, send me your prayer requests and sign up to receive the victory-filled emails every day during Holy Week. Oh, I can't wait. And you know what? Now, see, this is the way they get your, they want your email, they want your email address, so they want you to sign up. And then when you sign up, they want your phone number. They'll want your phone number and they'll want your address. And then they'll start sending you mail. And in the mail, of course, Rod will be asking for his resurrection seed offerings that he says that God must have at this time of year. And, the Bible says that every day, every day is the Lord's day. I didn't know that God had special days. And according to Rod Parsley and Paula White, only on these special days, these are the days when God really blesses you. The other days he doesn't bless you because this somehow, some way, the God that they talk about, he's got himself what day it is. That's number one, is that doesn't make any sense to begin with, because every day is the Lord's day. God's not sitting up in heaven saying, oh, wow, it's 7 days before Easter. And so I'm watching down there on earth. I'm looking down on earth and I'm watching these people, especially at World Harvest Church there. And I'm watching the people and I want to see if these people are going to put some money down to get my 7 extra blessings. It's stupid. Oh, I can't believe it. When I listen to these people, I can't believe that people actually still believe this stuff. That's the thing that really gets me, is because Rod, he does this every year. And apparently it's very lucrative, because he's still doing it and he's still on television doing it. So that's the thing that amazes me, is that people didn't figure out yet that it's a scam. They didn't figure it out that God doesn't have any special Passover offering. Jesus is our Passover. If we need anything, all we have to do is ask. We don't have to give Passover offering. I can't believe I... I sit there in amazement because I'm listening to Rod and I'm listening to Paula, and they keep saying the same thing every year, and people are still believing it. They're still buying into it. And I think to myself, here Jesus Christ himself came down to earth and he gave us freedom. He gave us freedom, and he gave us freedom to choose. And we're supposed to know what the truth is. So I'm amazed here in the year 2017 that people haven't figured out Rod Parsley yet, and they haven't figured out Paula White. But here's another letter that I got from Rod. Position yourself to receive 7 supernatural Passover blessings. Abundance, angelic intervention, deliverance from affliction. Oh, wow. Deliverance from affliction. Okay, how much does that cost? How many of us have been afflicted? And you mean to tell me that I can give an offering and I can get deliverance from affliction? Wow. That's amazing. And much, much more. These are just 3 of the 7 blessings of Passover, and they can be poured out on you during this divinely appointed and anointed season. Like I said before, nobody knows the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so why does he think that he knows it? Why does he think he knows it? He doesn't know it. Passover is the first of 3 commanded feasts instructed by God in his word that all believers are to observe each year. I don't think so, because that the New Testament says Jesus is our Passover. It doesn't say anything about observing a feast. And forever, and celebrating it places us in position to receive 7 amazing anointings. Oh, yeah, I don't think so. To receive 7 amazing anointings, who's the anointed one, right? The anointed one is Jesus. It's his anointing. Anyway, it's not ours, so I don't know how I can position myself to receive 7 amazing anointings when I already know the anointed one. Jesus did more miracles at Passover time than any other time he walked on this earth. I don't think so. Rod is confused, you know, because doesn't the Bible say that Jesus did so many miracles when he walked the earth. There were so many things that he did that they couldn't even write it all down. Oh, please, Rod. Rod is confused. What does it mean that Passover is a commanded feast? Yeah, please tell us. Every Israelite had to take part, as we read in Exodus 23. And Deuteronomy 16, it was a celebration of their deliverance from the angel of death in Egypt by the sign of the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. Yeah, okay, we already have this, the blood of the lamb on our doorpost. Yes, we already have that. We already have that. We've already been delivered from the angel of death. We already have that. So I don't have to give a Passover offering to get it. Today, Passover has even more meaning for you and for me. We see in Christ the realization of what was for the children of Israel just a symbol. And the Apostle Paul urges, let us keep the feast. Oh, the Apostle Paul urges. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 5. I already read that. This is what 1 Corinthians 5 says, and I already read it, but here's the part that really applies to Rod and Paula. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what he was talking about. And so, in other words, don't scam people. Don't scam people. Here's another biblical illiterate person, Rod Parsley, and who calls himself Dr. Rod. And he also is the, I don't know if he's the president or what he is over there. He also has a Bible college. What possibly are these young people, or mostly young people, I would say, going to Bible college? What could they learn from this man? This man's illiterate. He's illiterate. He can't even correctly tell you what 1 Corinthians 5 says. No, he can't tell you. He makes things up. As with every commanded of the Bible, there are also commanded blessings. 7 anointings God commands for those who are obedient. Angels on assignment. Yeah, well, I already have angels on assignment. An adversary to your adversaries. God himself will beat back your enemies. God already promised me he would beat back my enemies. He didn't say anything about giving a Passover offering. God already said he would deliver me from all evil. He already said that. So, assets necessary for life, food, shelter, clothing, everything you need. Yeah, God already said he was going to give me, meet my needs according to his riches and glory. He already said that. So, he didn't say anything about a Passover. Did he say anything about a Passover offering when he said that? No, I don't think so. Affliction removed. God promised to remove sickness. Oh, yeah. If it was that easy, don't you think that every Christian would be running to church with money in their hand? If it was that easy for people to be delivered from their afflictions? Talk to some people that are being afflicted right now. Yeah, they would pay all the money if they could and if it was true. They would pay all the money that there is in the world to be delivered from their afflictions. That sounds like somebody that's a reprobate. Anybody that's going through any kind of a trial right now, could you imagine telling that person, one of your friends now, and you pretend to be a preacher? Say it was one of us, and we say, well, I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. And you're afflicted. You're afflicted with sickness, or you're afflicted with some person harassing you and trying to make your life miserable, or you're afflicted with financial problems, or your children are on drugs, or you're afflicted. And could you imagine one of us saying to those people, we have an answer for you, and it's called a Passover offering? There's a special place in hell for people like that. I really believe that. I think it's just diabolical to tell somebody that, especially somebody that's hurting. And there's three more that he says. Agelessness. Oh, yeah, agelessness. Yeah. With long life, God will satisfy us and our youth will be renewed. Yeah, well, God already said that. So he already said it. He didn't say anything in there about giving a Passover offering. Abundance, overflowing, a place in life where you can thrive. Oh, don't we all want that? Yeah, don't we all want that? But welcome to life, okay? Welcome to life. As long as we're in this life, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have tribulation. Nobody wants it. Nobody likes it. But you can't promise anybody that, oh, they're just going to sail through life and they're going to thrive. We all go through periods in our life where we're being afflicted, we're being persecuted. There's things that are happening that we can't even believe they're happening. And if this was true, if you just had to go to church and give a Passover offering or sow a resurrection seed just to be delivered from all these things, oh yeah, wouldn't that be wonderful? But it's not true. A new beginning, the number 8 is God's number of new beginnings. 2018 can be a fresh start of living in abundance in every area of your life, a blessing on your family, career, finances, health, and beyond. Oh, brother, this guy's too much. This is pitiful. This is so pitiful. I urge you to honor God's word and give as generously as you can in obedience to his command, and send me your most urgent needs as well. Why do I have to send you my most urgent needs when you already told me if I send a Passover seed offering, I was going to get all those things? So why do you have to pray for me? You don't have to. Don't pray for me, Rod. Don't pray for me, okay? You don't have to pray for me, because all I have to do, according to you, you're kind of double-minded there, because you're saying out of one side of your mouth that if I sow this Passover resurrection seed offering, I was going to get all those things. And now you're telling me that you want me to send you my needs, my prayer request, so you can pray for me. So you can't have it both ways. Don't pray. Don't pray. Don't pray, Rod. As you give today, I want to thank you by sending you my anointed CD. No, don't. No. Take this cup, the four secrets of Passover. Yeah, they're secrets, all right. I never heard. You better keep them a secret, too. Keep them a secret. In accordance with Jewish tradition, Jesus used four cups during his Last Supper with the disciples that hold symbolic mystery. Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that? Where did you see that in Scripture? I didn't see that anywhere in Scripture, that Jesus had four cups and they had symbolic mystery. Oh, and the key to receiving the Passover blessings. Oh, wow. Give $100 or more, and I will send you the video and mini book, plus my beautiful Breakthrough Legacy Bible. I think you better read your own Bible, Rod. I think you need to read your own Bible. Don't send out any Bibles, okay? Just read your own Bible. And after you read your own Bible and you learn what the Bible says, then you can send out Bibles. Then you can teach people about God, but you don't know God. You don't know God. And you certainly don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for sure. Because you're talking about another Jesus here. You're not talking about my Jesus. Give $300 or more, and I will send you all of these thank you gifts, along with a gorgeous 56 by 28 inch tapestry of the Last Supper. Oh, as you are led to give a generous Passover offering of $1,000 or more, it would also be my privilege, to send you a beautiful commemorative wooden and authentic four chalice communion chest created in Israel with all the elements that you can use with your family or close friends to remember Christ's sacrifice. Yes, I remember Christ's sacrifice, and I thank God for his sacrifice. And I thank God that Jesus is my Passover. Oh, this man is confused. Rod is a very confused man, very, very confused. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that anybody that calls themselves a pastor, calls themselves a Christian, claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he talks about Jesus like that, and he talks about God like that? This has to stop. This has to stop. This is ridiculous. And Paula White, she's even worse than Rod. But I'll have to probably I might do part two tomorrow, as far as getting the audio of Paula and her, you know, it really is a strange thing, because when you think of it, and I think about this often, really, because I can't believe that somebody like Paula White, who doesn't know God, doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and she puts herself out there as a Bible teacher and as somebody that really cares about the body of Christ. Well, if you really care about the body of Christ, you don't lie to people, especially about God. You don't promise people things that you can't deliver. You can't promise people that just because they give money that they're going to have a trouble-free life, or they're going to get healed of their illness, or that their kid is going to get off of drugs. Or unfortunately, some people do backslide after they give this money and nothing happens. And then they get angry at God and they want to turn on God. But don't ever turn on the Lord Jesus Christ or on God because some preacher lied to you, because it's up to you to find out if what they're telling you is true. And also ask them, can I have my money back if this doesn't work? Ask them that. Ask them, say, can I have a money back guarantee on this? See how many of them will tell you that they'll give you a money back guarantee. They won't. Anyway, here's Rod from, let's see now, let's compare, okay? Because here's Rod in 2016, and this is Rod talking about the Passover offering.
Declares that this Passover, Pesach, feast season, here's what his word says, shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it forever. The feast season of Passover is just a foreshadowing of the precious Lamb of God who shed his spotless blood for you and me on Calvary's rugged, cruel, angry, mean, biting beam. Passover is a set time on God's calendar to honor that sacrifice. When you come before him with a seed in your hand, he promises to release 7 extraordinary anointings into your life that are only available during this Passover season.
What?
Now, the seed you sow to honor God has very special significance in this Jubilee year that began with a tetrad of 4 red blood moons, an event that hasn't occurred for 500 years. I believe this year God has placed a very unique Passover seed in your hand with a Jubilee harvest of blessing already assigned to it. For many, I believe that seed would be $50, a Jubilee seed during Passover. For others, it's a Jubilee Passover seed of $50 in each hand to honor God's promise, his provision in your life. Why don't you pick up that smartphone? It's beside you right now. Dial that number on your screen. Sow your Passover seed before Passover begins on April 23rd. Sow your Passover seed on our secure website, rodparsley.com, or just put it in the mail to me today. When you sow that Jubilee seed, I have ministry gifts that will enrich your walk with the Lord and help you celebrate his feast in a much more intimate and personal way. But the release of God's blessing into your life centers on your obedience and the power that's already resident inside your Passover seed. Now, for some of you, the significance of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb and all of its protection, all of its provision, can only be expressed with a very special, uncommon Passover seed. In my time of study and prayer meditation this morning, God spoke to my heart that many of you would respond to his voice in this moment. That you would respond to his voice urging you to take a step of faith and sow an uncommon Passover seed of $1,000. It's not for everyone, but I believe you are sensing in your heart the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you to sow an uncommon seed of $1,000 toward an uncommon need. When you do, I've assembled a very beautiful, meaningful communion set, especially for you. This stunning five-piece silver-plated communion set is an heirloom that your family will enjoy for generations around your family altar. But please, act quickly. Supplies are very limited. Now, whether the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart to sow a $50 Passover seed, or a $100, or $1,000, you'll be releasing seven extraordinary anointings that can make this Jubilee year the very best year of your life. The rest of your life, the best of your life. So pick up that phone, dial that toll-free number right now. I don't want your delayed obedience to become disobedience. So your...
No, he doesn't want your delayed obedience to become disobedience. No. Rod's looking out for you. Yeah, he's looking out for you. He's like a used car salesman, Rod Parsley. That's what he reminds me of. It's like an infomercial, you know. You better get this stuff now because this stuff is going to... This tablet or this book or whatever, it's gonna save your life. And that's Rod Parsley. He belongs... Excuse me, but he belongs like in a carnival. He should be in a sideshow, really. It's despicable. And notice, like, he sounds like he's so excited because he's offering this to you. And he's telling you that he wants you to sow this uncommon seed of $1,000. And then he even says that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But no, the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you because the Holy Spirit rarely... I would say rarely, like when we're just sitting at home and we're not watching television or we're not listening to TV preachers or whatever. I would say if we took a survey here today at Prophetic News and we asked people, we said, now, if you're sitting at home, how many times does the Holy Spirit say to you, send $1,000 to Rod Parsley? Or send $1,000 to Paula White. That never happens. It just doesn't happen. But that's why this is called the power of suggestion. They suggest something to you. And they're good salesmen. They're good salesmen because he's still there on television and he's paying millions of dollars a year for television time. And he's still got hundreds of people, maybe even 1,000 or more people that go to his church on Sunday and they listen to that and they haven't figured it out yet. They haven't figured Rod out yet, but they must have some kind of revolving door over there at that church because I guess people will probably go there for a while and then they realize that whatever he's telling you is not true and it doesn't work. So then they get a whole new crop of people that are desperate. And there are some people, they're desperate. They're desperate for a miracle. They're desperate for help. Have you ever been there? I have. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of times that I've been desperate for a miracle. God, please help me. And help me now. What are you waiting for? But sometimes we just have to wait. And we just have to go through the thing. But Rod wants to tell you that, never mind, you don't have to go through the thing. Just send me $1,000. Oh, anyway. Awful man. I would hate to be him on Judgment Day, or I would hate to be Okay, here I am again. Oh, dear. I don't know. This thing keeps hanging up on me. But anyway, we'll get it straightened out and have to find out what's going on. It's the weirdest thing. All of a sudden, I'm talking and the thing just hangs up. But yeah, let's hear. I do have a clip here from Paula and talking about the Passover offering. Do you think that somebody would have figured Paula out too? A lot of people have, but she's kind of been her ministry or so-called ministry. It virtually was finished. She was pretty well finished there in about 2011 when her churches went bankrupt and were bulldozed. But then she managed to resurrect herself. Anyway, here's Paula.
One of the most supernatural, miraculous seasons, the season of Passover. It's God's holy appointment, set time that he has set up with mankind. Now, if God makes an appointment, you and I don't want to miss it. You say, what's the importance of Passover to me as a New Testament believer? Well, all the way from the beginning, God had established these holy feasts. Moed is the Hebrew word, and it means a divine appointment, a set time. A set time is when God, on his calendar, has made an appointment with you and I. These seven feasts and three feast seasons were designed for intimacy, communion, that God would fellowship with us. He said, stop your ordinary business. These are set times that I want to have with you, that I want you to honor. They're all built around the blood covenant that he's made with mankind. Some of them are foreshadowed. Some of them have been fulfilled. Some of them have yet to be fulfilled. And why is all that important? Because all of this ties up that he would sum up all things in heaven and in earth in Christ Jesus. And in these divine moments, which I'll go over with you today, they give us opportunity to release blessing, to see the benefits that God has already made for us and provided for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. See, God has a pathway. He has a plan, principles, that when you obey them, Deuteronomy says, when you fully obey the commandments that I've given you, then you'll see all these blessings come upon you. This is about honoring God, about saying thank you for your blood, thank you for the price that was paid. And when you do so, there are blessings and benefits that are released to us. But we don't do it because of the blessing and benefit. We do it because God is worthy. God is good. I recognize the price that has been paid, that God has delivered us. He's protected us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so when the enemy comes to form a weapon against you, you're literally saying, I applied the blood to this next year. I thank you that I'm protected. It is the Lord's Passover, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast or divine appointment to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast, an appointment with God, by an ordinance forever. And the word Passover is P-A-A-C-H in the Hebrew. It literally means extended arms or wings to cover one and to protect over one. So it's not so much as to pass over as it is to protect you. The blood of Jesus protects you. The blood of the Passover lamb protects you. So God, who is a covenant-keeping God, because there was really only one Passover, and that was around 1445 B.C. when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But ever since then, all the way throughout the Old Testament, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, all the apostles would practice Passover. And God tells us very clearly that we're to do the same. Although James says we're not held to the rituals and the routine, we never are to abandon the principle of it. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 4 through 5, there is a final plague that is announced. Those 10 plagues represented the gods of Egypt. And God's showing, I am the only one true living God. And you know the story, that the children of Israel had to take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost on the sides, apply it, and the death angel would pass over. Because the blood would protect everyone inside of the house. the same principle for you today. When you apply the blood of Jesus, it protects your house. It protects your generation. And so you find in Exodus chapter 12, verse 4, and we'll pick up here, and it gets really deep for us, that Israel is instructed to keep the lamb until the 14th day of the month and kill it in the evening, which happened to be at 3 o'clock, which is the same time that Christ died, because details do matter to God.
She's confused, isn't she? She's a very confused girl. Very confused. Well, either Christ is our Passover or he isn't. She's very confused. She keeps wanting to take you back to the Old Testament. And yeah, the children of Israel, because at that time, when they were trying to leave Egypt, and they put the door, the blood of the lamb on the door post, so then the death angel would pass over them. Well, then they celebrated Passover to commemorate that. But Jesus Christ is our Passover. He shed his blood for us. We don't need to have a week out of the year where we celebrate Passover and we send offerings to preachers. That's basically what it is. If Paula and Rod really meant what they said, and if they really believed what they said, they would tell you to give a Passover gift to your friend to honor God. But no, they don't tell you that. They tell you that, send it to me. Send it to me. And when you send it to me, you're honoring God. That's what they say. Well, that's scamming. It's called a con. That's what it's called. It's called extortion. I take your money and I promise you the world. And I have a lot of fun with your money in the meantime. Yeah. But greed is a funny thing. Greed is a funny thing. I noticed that, of course, right now, things are picking up as far as the economy, and there's a lot of building going on. And, of course, builders weren't that busy for a while because there wasn't that many people building houses. The way things were, we went through a terrible crisis in the real estate market somewhere. What was it, about 2000 or so, and things were crashing. And so now people are building. So, and then the builders are getting so greedy, just so greedy. And, but that shouldn't be in the church. That shouldn't be in the church. Pastors and ministers, we have to do what we do because we love God and we love people and we want to help people. And if God blesses us financially, fine. And if he doesn't give us the world like these people promise, then that's fine too. But we serve God because we love God and we love the brethren. You know, it's very, very sad, really. Very, very sad that these kind of things are happening. And I, like I said before, I can't get over it that these things are still happening and that these people come every year at this time of year on television and they push this thing on people. And people are hurting. You know, they're really, really hurting. But I also wanted to mention one thing that it has to do with politics. But I was very disturbed this week by the fact that they passed a huge spending bill, and in the spending bill was a $500 million payment that goes to Planned Parenthood. And we know that Planned Parenthood is the biggest purveyor, really, of abortions in this country. And yet the United States government gives $500 million to Planned Parenthood. Oh, I found that very, very disturbing. Very disturbing, because if you have a pro-life president or someone who claims to be pro-life, you don't fund the biggest abortion provider with $500 million. If you were going to give Planned Parenthood money and you were going to say to use it for teaching people contraception, what do you need $500 million for? A mother tells their son or their daughter not to have sex before marriage. You teach your children in the way they should go. And, okay, so they want to practice some kind of birth control, married people. So what's $500 million? What do you need $500 million for that? Number one. And then Planned Parenthood was selling aborted baby parts. They were caught selling the parts. And yet the United States government, including the Democrats and the Republicans and the president, signed the bill. We've got a sad state of affairs for sure. Who takes a stand for life? Why wasn't a clinic that provides alternatives to abortion, why aren't they given like millions of dollars to do their work to save lives and to put babies up for adoption if it's necessary, and do it to save lives? But no. The people that are saving lives aren't getting the millions of dollars. It's the people that are taking lives. I thought that was very, very disturbing, because we're kind of going backwards on this whole thing with abortion, when we fund this corporation. Basically, it's a corporation of death. $500 million. Very, very disturbing. So we have to put our faith and trust in God in these days. It's like the Bible says, truly the days are evil. And people say one thing, they talk about standing up for life. But who's really standing up for life? It's not the politicians, that's for sure, but it has to be the body of Christ. And we need to do a better job of teaching young people to be modest and to be pure and to wait until marriage to have sex, especially. We need to do a better job of that. And maybe we can put Planned Parenthood out of business that way. But anyway, that was one thing that I found very disturbing this week. But there's so many things going on in the world, and we need to stay in the Word, stay close to the Lord. We're all going through things. We all need each other. We all need prayer. And we need to encourage each other to get through the times that we're in now. And also to speak up, tell your friends and whoever to stay away from people like Rod Parsley, to stay away from people like Paula White, who used the word of God deceitfully and practiced this form of extortion on hurting people, because people are going to be hurting even more in the days ahead. When you see the look at this young man last week that got caught in Texas going around and leaving these packages and doing the things he was doing. Oh, just awful. And people walking into schools with guns shooting people, innocent people. And you hear these things more and more nowadays, really. You hear the where the love of many will wax cold. So that's why it's very important for us as the body of Christ to tell people the truth about the gospel and not to have ulterior motives like these people have, where they enrich themselves off the misery of others. It's not right. It's not right. And we need to speak out about it so that it'll stop. And that's what we hope and we pray, is that we know we're always going to have evil people with us as long as we're on the earth here. We know that. But as body of Christ and as preachers of the gospel, we have to make people aware of what the truth is. And then it's your responsibility, too, to tell other people and to try to guide other people and try to show people who Jesus really is and who God the Father really is, that they love us. They love us. They don't withhold any good thing from us if we ask. That's what the Bible says, to ask and you shall receive, that your joy would be made full. So never mind sending these con artists money. And there's no love in that. There's no love in that at all. And I wonder, really, I wonder if these people will ever get saved, because a really saved person doesn't do that to other people. You just don't do it. It's not right. It's not right. And we try to do the right thing as Christians. We try to be a good witness and tell people about the love of God, tell people about Jesus. And we need him, don't we? We need him. We need his mercy. We need his wisdom to get through the days. I hear more and more every day. I hear things going on in the world, and wow, we're seeing these people in England, they were speaking out, conservative people speaking out about Islam, and they were arrested. And we see even in this country that people are being censored on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, conservative people with conservative views. And if you say the wrong thing, they want to censor you and they want to say it's hate speech. Well, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse, where it's going to be harder and harder to preach the gospel without severe persecution. It's already happening in other countries, so it's going to happen here too. And it's already happening on a small scale, but it's going to get worse. It really is. Because you see that when people are greedy, and the most important thing to them is money, they don't want anybody taking away their money. You think Rod Parsley likes this broadcast? I don't think so. You think Paula White likes this broadcast? No, she doesn't like this kind of thing, because you're taking away their money. They don't want to earn their money honestly. No, they want to do it deceitfully. But anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody that stopped in tonight, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for stopping by. And I'm going to continue this. Maybe I might do another short program tomorrow and get some more clips, especially of Paula and her Passover seed. I wish I had that audio for you tonight, the one she did on Thursday with the with the tithing. Oh, she was really trying to scare people. Oh, you better tithe, otherwise God's going to do, this is going to happen to you and that's going to happen to you. And then she tells you, but you know that I love you and I have to tell you the truth. No, you're not telling people the truth, because if you're telling people the truth, you would tell them this. we're going to take up an offering for the church, for the expenses of the church. And if you'd like to give, please do. It's as simple as that. That's all you have to say. You don't have to scare people. You don't have to beat them over the head. Just tell people the truth. Don't tell them God's going to get mad at them and this is going to happen to them and that's going to happen to them. Oh, awful. God, Lord, have mercy on us, you know. Lord, have mercy. But we know the truth, right? We know the truth, and the truth has made us free, and we're not going back to Babylon. Not going back to Babylon, not going back to Egypt. We're not going back. So don't forget to tune in again. And the most important thing tonight is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're out there, maybe you just happen to tune in to this broadcast, and you're going through a hard time in your life. You're confused. You're on drugs. You're suicidal. You're going through a divorce. Whatever it is, God loves you. He loves you enough that he sent his son to die for you. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus said, in the third chapter of John, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We must confess the Lord Jesus Christ, confess our sins, repent of our sins, have a godly sorrow. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all have. But that's why God sent a Savior. He sent a Savior to save us and to give us a brand new life. You'll never be sorry. I can promise you that. That's one thing I can promise you. You'll never be sorry if you ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive your sins and to be your Lord and Savior. That's for sure.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.